May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us think a little this morning about healing and wholeness and how this relates to the message of the gospel. Certainly, healing is an integral part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus doesn't just preach and teach people, he also heals them. The thing that always strikes me about Jesus' healing ministry is how holistic it is. Jesus shows that God cares for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. He brings physical healing to some, healing the blind, the deaf, and the dumb. He brings emotional healing to others. Think of the woman caught in adultery who's forgiven and restored, rescued from humiliation and the contempt of others, and offered a whole new beginning. Jesus brings healing and wholeness to those who are mentally disturbed and broken, those who are possessed of evil spirits, restoring them to their right mind. In Jesus' ministry, all these different elements of healing, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, are drawn together. And Jesus often brings healing at many levels at the same time. He heals lepers from their physical ailment, which also means an end to their enforced isolation. They are restored to their communities. So their healing involves the renewal of relationships. Jesus perceived the complex interrelationship between the physical and the spiritual, the way sin and guilt, anxiety and fear can affect us physically and emotionally. Perhaps we may be very aware of that in our own experience, how emotional and mental stress can make us physically ill. I think of the paralyzed man who is brought by his friends to Jesus. Jesus knows that this man needs not only physical healing, but more importantly, he needs the freedom of forgiveness. And it's when he's been forgiven that he can then take up his bed and walk. Jesus also knows that it's possible for us to be so familiar with our wounds, our emotional hurts and our bitternesses, that we don't want to let go of them. He asks the man by the pool of Bethsaida the penetrating question, "Do you want to be healed?" Sometimes the true answer might be, in fact, "No, we don't." Jesus' deepest concern is for people to experience forgiveness and new life in him. His physical healings and miracles are signs of something deeper, pointing to who Jesus is and the life he brings. In the gospel accounts, Jesus doesn't simply cure symptoms. He offers healing in a much wider and deeper sense. He feeds the hungry in body and spirit and says, "I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness." Jesus wanted people to find shalom, peace and wholeness in relationship to God. So when we pray for healing, it's important to keep in mind this bigger context of life and wholeness in God. Our readings this morning, though not specifically about healing, remind us of this wider context. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah offers a wonderful picture of the rich life, the nourishment, and the flourishing to be found in relationship with God. In my Bible, this chapter has the title, "An Invitation to Abundant Life." It begins, "Ho, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" The people of Israel were in exile, and they were looking in the wrong places and to the wrong things for the life and security that they longed for. And they needed to be reminded that their flourishing as a community depended on their relationship with God. Maybe sometimes we too can seek a full life through an excess of material things, or extensive travel, or more and more experiences. Even exercise, fitness, and health can become idols. But as human beings, we need more than physical nourishment and material goods. We need more than physical and emotional health. Maybe all of us at some point in our lives may have had the experience of having everything we need and much more, yet still feeling dissatisfied, wondering there must be more to life than this. Whatever we have is not enough. There is a deep hunger and thirst within us which only God can satisfy. In the words of Isaiah, "Listen carefully to me, eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear to me. Come to me, listen, so that you may live." We, like the people of Israel in exile, are urged to listen to God, to turn away from our restless searching elsewhere, and to turn back to him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. When we turn back to God, we find that, like the parable of the prodigal son, like the father in that parable, he is waiting for us with arms open wide. Isaiah also says the word of God will bear fruit as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth and making it bring forth and sprout. If we are open to God and his word, we will bear fruit in our individual lives and our life together. This is a picture of shalom, health and wholeness in the deepest sense. In our gospel reading, Jesus urges his disciples to abide in his love and keep his commandments. And then he says, "My joy will be in you and your joy will be complete." Fullness of life comes from abiding in him. Of course, Jesus does not promise a state of happiness and well-being, which is an avoidance of all suffering, but a deep joy even in the face of suffering and costly self-giving. Jesus promises it is in receiving his love, living in his love, sharing his love with others, that true fullness of life, true joy, true fruitfulness are to be found. There is no true health, wholeness, or flourishing except in relationship to him. So, bearing all this in mind, what are we doing when we offer prayers for healing? Our prayers are for hope and healing, wholeness and peace in Christ. Just as Jesus healed people in body, mind, and spirit, prayer for healing is part of the wider ministry of the church today, in tandem with, of course, not in opposition to, the medical profession. And we pray week by week in our intercessions for those who are sick or distressed, depressed, or in need of strength and encouragement. We have a pastoral care team who are committed to praying for individuals and situations when they are asked to do so. And if you have any particular situation you would like the pastoral care team to pray for, please let us know. Perhaps some of us may know people who have experienced God's healing in a dramatic way. Others will have found strength and healing through a combination of expert medical help and prayer and spiritual encouragement. Sometimes, however, we may pray earnestly for a very long time for ourselves or for someone close to us, and we do not receive the healing we pray for. This can be confusing, painful, and a desperately discouraging experience. And it certainly doesn't help us if others tell us we just don't have enough faith. We need to be reminded that even though God may sometimes heal in dramatic ways, we are certainly not promised physical health and healing in this life. Remember, all the people Jesus healed, including Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, later died. And our mortality is the one thing that is certain for us all. Yet, we can still pray for healing, trusting that God will answer our prayers in his grace and wisdom and give us what we most need, not necessarily what we most want. And trusting in the deepest sense that our life and our flourishing is to be found in him, both in this life and beyond it. When I was a young Christian, I was very moved by the story of David Watson, a well-known Anglican vicar of a big thriving church in York. I think some of you here are nodding and some of you know what I'm talking about. When David Watson was diagnosed with cancer, Christians all over the world prayed earnestly for his healing. But he was not physically healed. However, he wrote a powerful little book called Fear No Evil in the last months of his life, where he describes how, in his frailty and suffering, he was led into a new intimacy with God, such as he had never known throughout his very acclaimed and famous ministry. This was his healing, he said. There are two different opportunities to receive healing today. In a few moments, I will invite anyone who would like to come and stand or kneel at the front of the church. And David or I will anoint your head with oil in the shape of a cross, lay hands on your head and say a very simple prayer for hope, healing, wholeness and peace. This follows the advice of James in his letter. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. If you've never experienced this, you may be surprised how strengthening and encouraging it is. We are physical beings, and receiving that physical touch through the laying on of hands and anointing of oil can communicate God's loving and healing touch in a tangible way. Now, of course, the laying on of hands and the anointing is not magic. Rather, it is a physical expression of our trust in God's grace and mercy. When we pray for someone's healing, we don't know exactly what will happen, and we trust that God will work for the healing and hope in the widest sense in that person's life, perhaps bringing physical healing, but certainly bringing strength and peace. Now, I'm aware that for some people, the laying on of hands and anointing may be a rather strange or alien tradition, so we're also offering at the end of the service another opportunity today to receive prayer for hope and healing in a more informal way. After the service, during coffee time, David and Cecily, one pair, and Donna and I will wait here in church, and we will be available to pray with anyone who might wish this. Whether we take up the offer of prayer or not, let us remember today that fullness of life, wholeness and peace are to be found in relationship with God. The full life Jesus offers us is not about being cured of particular symptoms. It's about something deeper than that. It's about living in peace and right relationship with ourselves, with other people and with God. And we can begin to experience this kind of shalom, even in the midst of frailty, sickness, old age, and ultimately death. We will not, of course, experience it fully until the renewal of all things, when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, there will be no more death or mourning or pain. Jesus' ministry of healing and the ministry of healing in the church point ahead to the final healing of all things. This goes beyond our own personal well-being to the complete healing of communities and nations and indeed of the whole creation. But I hope and pray that even in the midst of our imperfect and painful lives, we may experience something of the life-giving, healing love of God here and now, both as individuals and as a community. And as we receive that healing love into our own lives, may we also be channels of that same healing love to those around us. Amen.